You're listening to Sermon Cast Media from Antioch Community Church in Wichita, Kansas. For more of our sermons, resources, or to support this ministry financially, see our website at antiochwichita.org.
So this morning, we're just a little topical situation. We've all heard the phrase, right? Like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you agree that that's a pretty negotiable statement, right? I've thought about that. I used to say that when I was a kid, and then I've come to realize as I've gotten older, wait, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can cut me deeply, right? Like physical wounds, you know, will heal, and there's trauma that comes with them, but something happens spiritually and in your heart when there are verbal things that verbally abusive, you know, when there's people that are negative when you're around them, it affects your spirit. And I've come to recognize the hard way how deeply every single man, woman, and child long to be encouraged and spoken to sweetly. Amen? I know there's some big, you know, rock star buff dudes out there that don't need nobody, America, guns, and God. But in the heart of every single man and woman, there is a girl, there is a boy that desperately long for the affection, kind words, and encouragement of a father, of a friend, as a co-worker. We long for it. Amen? And some of us will be like, not me. I'm glad you're saying not me, because that means you're exactly that person and you're living in denial and you probably desperately need sweet words spoken over you more than anybody in the room. Amen? Am I lying? As I look around the world and we see things like fatherlessness and the brokenness of the nations, and then you turn on TV and you hear how harsh of a society we have become with our words and how much damage it does. I mean, think about the sarcasm and the way we talk to each other now versus 30 years ago. Has it increased? Yes, it's because of TV or that darn rock and roll music, right? I mean, and the hip hoppers. I mean, but it is obviously on the increase. But I tell you, from the time I was little, growing up at home, I had a home of two worlds. Again, my mom was great. My dad was great. Two different places. I was in between them. But I grew up in a world where when I was little, I got a lot of encouragement. And as I got older, as a teenager, trying to figure things out, there was a lot of negative speech in our house. My stepdad was a 17 year older guy than my mom, drunk, alcoholic, Navy guy, and we would say, he's just raised in that generation. Well, there's a lot of people raised in that generation that sucked with their words and their encouragement for their kids. And so I grew up starving for attention and starving for words of encouragement and joy, and that I was actually doing things okay. And the problem was, as I got older, it affected me greatly, and unfortunately, it became my persona. See, when we grow up in a house where accolades and encouragement and sweet words aren't given, or you have to earn them, then guess what? Whether you like it or not, most of the time, we will take on that persona. Anybody tracking with me this morning? And so as we starve, I've shared some of these. I've tried to cut down on all my horribly embarrassing stories when I was a kid. One time, I played football when I was a kid. You're like, I got it, bro. You look like a football player. Thanks. I play football as a kid. I'm not the best football player in the world. I'm going to give you that much. I'm not real quick. I've always been a big boy, but I was dedicated. And so I would try as hard as I could to impress my coach and impress the fellas. And I remember one time we were at a game, and my coach, I'm sitting there, I'm like, send me in, coach. Let me hit these chumps, right? It's flag football, but I was a little aggressive, okay? And all of a sudden, coach goes, hey, you guys either better step up your game or I'm sending Dan's in. At least he has heart. And I went, hey, and then I went, wait, what did he just say? Wait a minute. and it seems funny, and it is funny now, but I have spent much of my life around people who are very, very negative. And it has impacted me, unfortunately, in my spirit as I became a believer. And then I found out, guess what? There's Christians that have crappy attitudes too, that don't speak life, amen, which is a problem, amen? It's a problem, and lo and behold, it became me. The first years of our marriage, Jen and I, and for those of you who are running off to get married, you know, it's so great when two sinners collide. It's going to make everything better, and then you can add babies, and everybody's great. Sarcasm. My wife, same thing. Very negative influences in her heart and in her life. Not very encouragement, was longing. She was one of those people pleasers trying to achieve the praise of her parents and for people. And I was too. And we ran into this house and we're both negative. And I'm telling you, for 10 years, we absolutely destroyed one another with our words. I have said things to my wife that I should have been absolutely punched in the face for and kicked out of the house. And she has said things to me that were horribly vicious. And some of you are like, oh, Jen Dan, she's so sweet. You don't know the old Jen. Amen? Okay, don't have to believe me. Ask my children. But here's the deal. I remember she would say, this is kind of in the midst of our early years. And I remember saying this one time. I was like, you know, I'm never going to leave you for an attractive woman, but if I get one person that'll speak kind words to me, you might be in trouble. Think about that statement. How many of us in this room have ever thought that secretly in the back of our head? We were broken. Well, the Bible speaks powerfully to us about our words. If you go to Proverbs 18:21. We'll have numerous verses today. It'll be on the screen. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Listen, is that true? It was a dramatic pause. You can say, "Thank you." Here's one of the biggest things I've learned in my life. Words can bring life. Man, when you have somebody that encourages you and speaks life. Papa Joe was here last week, you know, the little Scotsman, you know, prophetic Scotsman guy. And if you weren't here on Wednesday, it was sweet. But, you know, he's one of our oversight team. And so he can, you know, fire me, whatever he needs to do, you know, those kind of things. But I was nervous the whole time he was here because I was sure in my head that the more I got around a father figure, the more critical things he was going to have to say to me. And I was like, ready. And he had joked the night before he got on the airplane. He's like, "Well, I've been easy on you, but on the way to the airport tomorrow morning, I've got my list." And he giggled and I went to bed going, "Oh gosh, like, is he serious? I just need to repent right now, Jesus." And so we're in the car and I'm ready for it. And he just gave me encouragement. It was life to me, even though I was ready for the worst. And we've also seen pure death. Think about, suicide rates and all this stuff. I mean, there is something so profound about words when they are negative and they're hateful. And I used to say things like, "Oh, I have a watershed moment. I'm like a duck. It just sheds off my back." But you know what? Here's what's happening. Even if you are thinking you're making it through negative household, negative coworkers, negative family, it is putting deposits in your heart that is changing you from the inside out. What's happening is you're building walls, and every time something comes or every time you do that to somebody else, there are walls being built in your heart, and you might not even realize it. Young boys and girls growing up in toxic homes, and then later on they become knuckleheads and they won't listen to anybody, and they can't take a compliment, and they sure can't take any criticism. By the way, feedback is an amazing thing, right? Feedback is good. We should be people that long for godly feedback. But when we have been smushed, any feedback is just canceling in our spirit. And then you become an adult that can't be told anything. And that's a horrible place to be. Amen? I'm hitting somebody in here this morning. Why do we fail to be more encouraging with our words when the scripture says there's life and death in our tongues? And I wrote a few of these things. Number one, we're too insecure. If I encourage you and I'm so insecure, I feel like I'm robbing myself of something, right? And a lot of people, this is myopic living. They want people to look at me, focus on me. So if I'm giving accolades to you, that means I'm having a hard time not getting my fill, right? We have a poor self-worth, which kind of goes right in line with that. If you feel like garbage all the time, guess what? You can't give something you don't have. And so you are just a negative person because you're empty on the inside. We compare ourselves with others. If you find yourself always looking at other people going, well, I wish I would have, and you don't have natural joy for them to be blessed and succeed, there's a problem and you're not going to be an encourager. Or you'll be one of those out the side of your rear encouragers. Oh, that's great. I'm so happy for you guys. But you know in your spirit the whole time you're going, jerk. Am I wrong? Anybody give a half-reared compliment before? Yeah. Well, right now, Pastor, you're doing a great job. Anyway, we're raised in negative households. We have a negative spirit. Now you've become what you've hated, and we're just unhappy and bitter. And let me tell you this. That is not God's heart for you. And I had this thought this morning. I was on the way here, racing here for tech issues. I feel like some of us feel like we get this kind of treatment from God, right? Like if you read the scriptures, you're like, wow, I got to watch my language. All those people in the Old Testament, the dopeites and the stupidites and whatever they were, God just smushed them and crushed them, and God hates sinners. And you listen, God is righteously angry. Righteously angry. He is allowed to be angry because he is perfection. And when we break that, and here's the thing, he could easily pour out his criticism. He could, I mean, do you realize that when I feel like God corrects me, I add words? And when I add words, it'll be something like, hey, that didn't honor me. And then I'll say, stupid. Hey, that isn't what my heart is for you, idiot. These are the words that I add to the word of God in my spirit. And I'm telling you right now, he doesn't talk to you like that. If you read the word, God's heart is for you. Like he delights in you. He's a good, good father, which means those kind of negative bashing traits out of insecurity. God doesn't have insecure parenting problems. You hear me? God is not insecure. He's not trying to fulfill his needs or his holes or his gaps from his daddy because he is the father. There's no gaps in his parenting. He doesn't see you as an idiot or mistakes or trash. And all of your deficiencies that you're so quick to bring to the altar, when he looks at those, he sees you through the blood of Christ and you're clean. You do not have a berating father. And maybe some of that's our problem and why we can't get close, because you've had so many negative things poured into your life that when you try to transpose that in God, he's just the new dad you did or didn't have, whether you like it or not. And every time you mess up, you feel like a little trashy so-and-so, you duck your head down, and then you probably go off and try to soothe yourself with sin or separation. Amen? Well, I don't know if that's an amen, but agreed? Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider," everybody say consider, "how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We have to be the cheerleaders that every one of us need. Amen? Husbands and wives, and it's harder. The deeper you get closer to somebody and they get access to your life, sometimes the harder it is to do this, right? How easy is it to become this, consider how to stir one another on, husband or wife, in the midst of a week where y'all have been thrown down the whole time? And by the way, at my house, back in the day, if I would have tried to encourage my wife through a hard season, she would say, shut up and don't be fake, don't patronize me. Because we laid that atmosphere in our house. You got what I'm saying? God knows you desperately need to be encouraged. And guess what he sent to answer that? His word, spirit, and us, one another. Our words to each other, moms, dads, kids, families, church especially, should be completely baptized with hope and truth and faith, not sarcasm and hate. What do you think people see these days when they see Christians just popping off at the mouth I mean, you should go through a 10-week class on Christendom before you're allowed to even be on Facebook if you're a follower of Jesus. Amen? I really want to post that. Don't do it. You'll get shocked. Okay. All right. Sorry. Right? Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith." There's this misconception that first and foremost, we're all about everything out there. That's actually not a biblical foundation completely. What's true is we take care of one another. You hear me? We encourage each other as the days grow near. We hold each other accountable. People are like, you know, you can't judge me. Actually, the scripture says we are to judge each other. We don't judge the world. We are actually to judge one another, not through the lens of we are God, but through the gospel and through the fruit of our lives. Why? For encouragement and for correction, right? And that goes back to, if nobody can tell you anything, you will never grow in the faith and in your walk with Jesus, because no one has access to the parts of your life that need to change. Amen? Jesus has given us each other to speak sweetly and encourage one another. And for those of us that have battled with this, this is an area where we like to go, whoop, and the Lord says, uh-uh. I don't talk to you that way, and you don't get to talk to my kids that way. So the question is, I'll be up there, am I someone who speaks life or death into others? And that's different than what I had on my paper, but it still says the same thing. Am I someone who speaks life into others? This is just for you to take stock. When people think about you, or if I could sit down with your spouse, or I could sit down with your kids, sit down with my kids, they'll tell you this has been a journey for me. What would the people closest to you say? Would they say, you know what, he's got his days, but man, he's full of life, and I know when I need it the most, my husband, my friend, my wife, she will speak the very things of God into my spirit, and I feel like I'm okay. Here's the deal. Home and the church should be a safe place. It should be a recharge place, not the place. That was a problem in our marriage back in the day, was I already got beat up by the church, and I would go home, and our home atmosphere was tumultuous. It was a joke. It was so vicious and nasty for years that I didn't want to be there. I felt like if I was alone, it was the only safe place where I wouldn't get any criticism, and I knew I wasn't going to get any encouragement either way. Always had, you know, negative folks leading the church and elders, and everything was about what was wrong and wrong and wrong and this. And then go home, wrong and wrong and wrong and this. And so I didn't have it, and I sure as heck wasn't giving it to anybody else. But I was dying inside, and so were the people around me. So I prayed and asked the Lord, like, Lord, what do we do to become people who speak life? Right? That should be the ask, right? Like, some of us in here, we need to be like, I'm okay at this. I mean, this is a big deal for everybody, right? And so I wrote down some of these things, and I want you just to follow with me as we talk about this. Number one, here's how we become those who speak life. You have to realize that it's possible. This is what I hear a lot. Well, I just grew up in a negative home, and I just talk negatively, you know, but my kids know I love them. My wife knows I love them. You know what I mean? Like, it's just who I am. By the way, the gospel shatters the crap out of that statement. Excuse me for little people being in the room. If Jen was in here, I would get a bad look. The gospel shatters that. When you say, that's just who I am, you are saying, no thanks, Jesus. The all-consuming blood and the all-renewing blood of the cross isn't enough. I'm content with being who I am. I'm just not an encourager. Well, then guess what? You might not be a disciple. Because the scripture says that we are new in Christ Jesus, and every day we renew our minds. You have to realize, negative-hearted men and women like me, never mind half full or empty, the glass got shattered. That's me. It is possible for God to take your heart, twist it, and churn it, and you become someone who speaks life. And it's not even a suggestion. It's mandatory that a believer follows after that. God, change my heart. Amen? I have nothing to be encouraged about. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's the nail you to the wall verse, right? What's it say? Therefore, if, everybody say if. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are literally arguing with the God of heaven, telling him that this is just the way we are. When he said, I know it's how you are in your flesh, but why won't you step into the newness I have for you? Look at your neighbor and say, it's possible. Here's another thing. You need to tend your heart. Want another one of those scriptures that actually kick you where the spiritual sun doesn't shine? Listen, Matthew 15, 18. What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. If your words are broken and angry and hostile and tearing down, it's not about the incompetency of the other person you're aiming at. It's about you. Your heart is broken. And if your heart is broken, listen, the scriptures just said, hey, if you are negative, if you have nothing nice to say, if you just have foul things come out of yourself, guess what? The litmus test of your life says your heart is not right. And we have to do the work. That's the amazing thing about the kingdom is God gives us the ability to change, right? We have to renew our minds every day. But if we're new in Jesus, we're called to speak life and hope. If we are saying we are new in Jesus, but we don't speak life and hope, I'm sorry, but our tree doesn't have that fruit. Listen, I'm skinny and buff. Hold on. I'm really skinny and buff. There's a verse about being skinny and buff. Am I skinny and buff? It doesn't matter what I say. By the way, I am buff underneath here. Yeah. I'm just going to show out, right? I tell Jen she's lucky I'm at this battle because I'm such an attractive guy that if I was buff like I am underneath, she'd have tons of issues of jealousy. Truly, I'm sorry for that one. if there's anything we get out of today, it's this. In the Psalms, David says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David is saying, hey, Lord, something's wrong, and I need you to renew my heart. When was the last time, sons and daughters of the living God, that you got on your knees and you said, Jesus, God, put a new heart in me. You can't hide it from him. And he's not up there going, hey, dummy, you don't realize this, but you got a messed up heart. He's saying, listen, there is newness for that cantankerous thing in your heart. And if you call upon me, remember, if we ask anything in my name, so we want to call on cars and money and prosperity, but the Lord's like, hey, call on anything that's in my desire, in my name. You ask the Lord for a new heart, guess what? You think the God of heaven isn't in heaven going rejoicing? Yes, child. Yes, son. Yes, daughter. I will renew your heart. Some of us still walking around in the old heart, and some of us have not even asked the God of heaven to renew what's wrong inside of our spirit. You have to tend your heart. The words are the outflow. The heart is the problem. So if you have a cuss jar, you know, some of you, I did that when we were new believers, then we funded like college tuition and stuff with it and everything. Mostly Jen. But your cuss jar, you could put money in and you can even stop saying dirty words for 3 weeks and you white knuckle it. But guess what? It will always come back if you don't deal with the thing that's defiled in your heart. That's why white knuckling never works. The only thing that works is whether you're an addict, whether you're negative, whether you're a worrier, the only thing that will work is heart change. And the only one that can change your heart is Jesus. When was the last time you asked him to change your heart? Next one is Jesus is our source. It just continues what we go into. Like, what do I give? Like, I feel empty. How am I supposed to encourage somebody? Guess what? It doesn't matter if you're empty, three quarters full, or you can't even afford that tank of gas. Woo-hoo-hoo. Modern day gas thing. Okay, good. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Listen, our encouragement comes from our identity. You can encourage someone regardless of who they are when you have an identity in Christ Jesus. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? When you know who you are, listen, if I know who I am in Christ Jesus, if I'm a son of the living God, if I know the God of heaven delights over me, that he sings over me, I can easily get rid of my insecurities a lot quicker and actually love on somebody else when I've got him. Amen? Like, any excuse I have of why I can't do A, B, C, or D, it's washed away in the blood of Jesus. I am a son of God, and all of a sudden, my fatherless issues, they start to fade away. You hear me? The critical spirit that people gave to me, and I always think that people are saying idiot or dummy in my head. Guess what? I've realized that Jesus doesn't say that. I have peace, even when he corrects me. By the way, I'm not saying I nail this every time. This is the truth that I've given my life to be on to figure out how to become more of a positive, speaking, life-giving encourager. Amen? I wrote this quote years ago, but we can fill all of our insecurities with his divinity. Every little thing in your spirit that creates us to be negative, you can fill that with the fullness of who God is. Amen? Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. John 3:1a, I don't know why I did that. See what kind of love the Father has given to us that we would be called children of God, and so we are. We give grace and we speak life to others when we understand that we have been given grace and life. Another one. We speak life over others with his truths, not our feelings or perceptions. So have you ever asked, all right, I know I'm supposed to encourage Joe at work, but he's kind of a doofus. How on earth can I do this without coming off fake? Here's the beautiful thing about walking in Jesus. it's not about your perception or your feelings. We just encourage each other in the Lord. Amen? This gets you off the hook because A, you don't have to be fake. You don't ever have to be fake again in a compliment to somebody when you give from the reservoirs of God. Amen? Hey, you did a really good job this morning. That's why that Abby doesn't let me do the, when people come up here and they try out for the worship team. I'm not the right guy to ask if you did a good job if you did a really bad job. You won't find one of my kids going on to American Idol going, my mama said I could sing real good. You know what I mean? And then they sing and it sounds like somebody's butchering cats in the backyard, right? I've just... You don't have to lie to people, but you can encourage them from the reservoirs of God. Amen? Like with what his heart is. And so 2 Corinthians 4:18, I think it fits here. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Think of that as an encouragement verse for a minute. You look at the outside of somebody and it's pure chaos. Well, guess what? That is the things going on in their lives that you can't see. So not only are they in battle for the things that we can't see, but spiritual things. At the same time, why would we try to bring outward words into that chaos? Speak the truth over somebody. Do you realize that God loves you so much that he died for you? And even though you're acting foolish, guess what? He's not leaving you. He's not forsaking you. He sent me to love you. I don't know how to do that, but we're going to do it together. God is with you. That's sure a lot better than you're good enough, you're smart enough, and people like you. Guess what? You're probably not good enough. You're definitely not smart enough, and half the people can't stand you. Well, Stuart Smalley. And by the way, this helps us not just how, but when we encourage. We can be encouragers all the time when we take from the reservoirs of God and not when we feel like somebody's worthy. By the way, be careful. You know, a lot of parents, we battle with this. A lot of us have accolades with our kids when they do the right thing. But when they don't, you won't hear a single word come out of our mouths except critical things. Been a battle of my life. Think about what happens when you only encourage somebody when they've done your checklist. What gets built into the heart of somebody? What got built into me when you, if you got any accolades at all, is when you did exactly what you were told. Never once had somebody say, you know what? No matter what you do, son, I love you. No matter what you do, I'm never gonna abandon you. Amen. By the way, there's encouraging the wrong way. I've told this story before, but just goes around with my World War II motif. Hitler. So if you know much about Hitler, we know the end game of Hitler, kind of a punk. Amen. And so if you tracked Hitler's life backwards, number one, his father was an enormous alcoholic, very cold man. Very cold. So that's some of the part of the root. Amen. But his mama raised him to be an elitist. She built him up so much that Hitler could not handle feedback. Like, he did artwork and he tried to get in Vienna and different places, like to these art places, and they would reject him because his art, I don't know how to say this, just sucked, right? And his mama would say, you never mind them, they don't understand. And she fed those lies into him his entire life to where, look, do you think that had anything to do with how Hitler turned out? He couldn't take criticism. He couldn't take no. He couldn't have somebody correcting him. His mom bred that into him his entire life. He became a tyrant and murdered over 6 million people. Don't lie to your kids. I'm not a big fan. I'm kind of a putzy dad. I'm probably not going to teach marital classes or marriage classes, but stop telling your kids they can be anything they want to. That sounds horrible. How dare you tell Peanut that, right? He could be like right now, I'm going to go be a gymnast in the next Olympics if I try really hard. Why don't you change the language to, man, whatever God has for you, whatever God has for you, go after it with all of your heart. And if you mess up, that's okay. Every no is a yes, and you can move on to the next thing. But God is with you, and there's no value in you if you fail or succeed in this. We love you anyway, and so does God. Amen? I've told my kids from the beginning, I don't care what you do vocationally. You could be trash men. I wish one of them would go to college to pay for Jen and I's retirement. We're still working on that, right? Or just, you know, entrepreneurs, whatever. but I've never cared what they do. I've only cared how they do it. If their heart's for Jesus, if they're not selling their souls and their hearts out to boys and girls when they're teenagers and all these dopey relationships that end up stealing your heart and trying to achieve for all these big jobs and success that way, I don't care about that as long as they walk with Jesus and do whatever he wants them to do. Maybe I shot myself in the foot. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Amen? You don't have to lie. We just give what God gives us. Amen? Some of you need to go tell your kids that you've been encouraging they can sing well before they get to American Idol that they can't. Because if they get on TV, don't mention the church. Just a couple more things. Listen, we encourage each other through brokenness. This is one thing I love about this church is we've been through so many things together that there are just warriors in this room that when crisis comes into somebody's life, they're there. They're sitting there, you know, Mike, I remember Robin's second cancer diagnosis and 30 people show up in the room in the midst of cancer and we leave worshiping God together and praising God. Like you look at the scripture, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 5, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. Listen, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. We should be people who look for the fire and the gaps in people's lives, especially in this room. And we should be the ones that run in with the encouragement of God, because guess what? I don't know how many times, I'll share an example, when our marriage broke apart after 10 years and there was an affair, I was walking away from my wife in the church The first people literally that drove from Dallas to my house in the middle of the night was Ty and Brandy, knocking on the door, walked into our house in the middle of the night with the word of God, prayer, and compassion. That helped us through. We are those champions to one another. When the brokenness comes into our families, into the families of the church, house churches, whatever it is, people around you at work, we run in. We bring the comfort of God to one another. Because why? Because we desperately need it. And some of you are like, I got this. I've been dealing with this kind of life my whole life, and I'll be fine. No, you won't. You're just adding more walls and baggage to your spirit every single time. And you're not getting healed. Here's another one. This is a great one. We'll go quickly through this because it's too convicting. To speak life, we must stop speaking death. Listen, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Can I tell you one of the greatest spiritual phrases there is for a believer? Shut up. If you're realizing that you have a negative heart, the best thing you could do as God rebuilds your heart is be quiet. Make people ask, hey, are you okay? Because you usually have something to say. And if you got to walk out of there going, to me, that is a spiritual offering. Right? If you have to be quiet and you have to bite your hand and walk out of the room to collectively calm yourself and not dishonor people, dishonor the kingdom, break the hearts of your wife or your husband or your children or the people at work. You know how spiritual that is? To be quiet, bite your hand, and walk out of the room as you reset. If you have a critical spirit, and some of us just have a critical spirit, you need to practice a lot more silence. Because how many times I didn't mean to say it. You know how many times in my life with my wife when we're fighting, when I've said the most atrocious things, or I didn't mean to say it, it just came out in the middle of the conversation. Guess what? When you walk into those conversations, make an oath with your heart and your mouth. Even if you go, can't do this right now, stop. Be quiet. Honor the Lord in your silence as you're seeking him to renew your heart to give you better words. And there's something like, I am so reactionary to critical spirit people. Like, I get around critical spirit people. It's what I was raised with. I've been trying to get out of it. I'm kind of a nice guy and I speak nice words, except when I'm stressed out, then I'm a big jerk, honestly. But when I get around people that have like a critical spirit, I just have all these flashbacks and my gut just starts to turn. Like, I literally get sick. Like, I want to run away and I want to go hide. You know, not that there's ever negative people at church, right? I know that never happens, but if there would be, you know, pastor, I'm doing this. I don't know why. And I'm just like, if this was a new person, I'm like, okay, there's grace. But after a while, I get so tired of hearing the same people complain. And it's nothing to do with what we're doing or not doing here. It has to do with you, your critical spirit. You know what kingdom people do in the church when they see deficiencies? They jump in. They pray. They come alongside. They don't destroy and start factions of gossip in the church. That's wicked, and it should be steamrolled over by the kingdom of God. And I am glad that we don't have a huge problem with that here, because I don't like running over people. Amen? we'll just move on to the next point. How we speak life to one another is a huge witness to the lost. You hear me? Think about the last 2 years and think about lost people checking your Facebook feed, having conversations with you, talking to you about politics. I remember when we were overseas and we go to Greece and it is uncanny. You know, a lot of societies, people barely make eye contact with each other. They barely look at each other. They barely talk to one another. And usually when loud Americans come, it's like, you know what I mean? And everybody's rolling their eyes. But when we've been places in the world where we're actually loving on each other, we're carrying a lady's bags, we're doing stuff, it's backwards cultural for them, and it shines the light of Jesus. When we tear each other apart on Facebook or in person, or the churches are negative and it's all about, we ain't gonna flippity flop and all that kind of stuff, it is a witness. It's a witness to the King of Heaven. Listen to what the scriptures say. John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Well, guess what? Love's an action. Love comes out of our mouths. It's on purpose. And when we love each other, when we show grace, let me give you an example. This is weird. I don't know if this is from the Spirit or not. It might just be gas. Hillsong. Hillsong this week, Hillsong Church. Brian Houston had to resign, has some inappropriate stuff in his life, had to walk away. A couple of their pastors, Carl Lentz, all these guys, listen, I get it. They got issues. I don't necessarily agree with all their theology, but there are like ravenous wolves and sharks in the water delighting that these guys have screwed up. Delighting. Well, good, it's about time. Do you not think God has been walking with them? Just because you don't agree with their church theology or whatever, that's still a child of God. And we get online and we go, woo, it's about time that that Hillsong has been exposed. Foolish. We should be praying for that brother. We should be running to support them. People should see our words, even for the theology, broken churches that we don't agree with. We should encourage and love and step up and protect. Amen? You can't all have pastors with nail it theology like me, okay? I like that. And last but not least, I promise you, we'll beat the Methodists to lunch. Be intentional. And this seems, you know, back to that Hebrews 10:24 verse, let us consider how to stir up one another and love good work and love good works. When was the last time you considered how in your day you can just go speak life into somebody? When was the last time you said, you know what, maybe, and some of you do this really well, I'm going to text my wife today, I'm going to text my husband, I'm going to text my friend, and I'm just going to say, like, I'm proud of them, and I love them, or I think she's beautiful, or any of these things. When was the last time that you intentionally set in your schedule to speak life? Here's the thing. Speaking life doesn't happen just randomly. What you're doing is waiting for you to feel like it, and guess what? If we only received the grace of God when he felt like it, we'd be in trouble. Right? That will preach, as they say. I was thinking about this, like, in your marriage, when was the last time you sat down and asked your spouse a real honest question about, are you a life giver? Are you a death giver in your speech? When was the last time you asked each other that? When's the last time you asked your spouse, hey, do you feel secure to tell me even when you messed up? Am I a safe place for you? Maybe we should sit down with our kids and ask the same questions. Maybe kids, you should turn around and ask your mom and dad the same question. Can I be told anything, mom, dad? Can you say anything to me? Husbands and wives. Parenting, people at work, your friendships. When's the last time you asked your friend, hey, what kind of friend am I? See, these are all doorways to revival in our hearts and our homes, but you have to be bold enough, we have to be bold enough to want to walk through it. Because guess what? Probably more than one or two of you in here, including me, are probably have some areas to step up in. And God is not there at that pivotal point going, you moron, you messed it up again. He's going, yes. Yes, engage the question. Take the feedback. Ask me to renew your heart and be changed. And be changed. We are called to be people that speak life because we are people with the way, the truth, and the life inside of us. You can shift the atmosphere of your words by the power of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I just declare over this church, Listen, I have led this church probably since day one, even in front of Jesus sometimes. That's another joke. Kind of true, actually. But listen, some of my persona has fueled over to the guys that I disciple and who I lead. Like, we like to laugh and joke. Mostly it's good. Sometimes it crosses the line. I could be very sarcastic. And Paul was sarcastic, so there's biblical merit, right? But there's sarcasm that crosses a line, and it makes people feel unsafe. I used to hear this a lot from people. I don't know if you're telling the truth or you're joking right now. That's a problem, right? I'm trying to have Jesus work on that in my heart. I think I'm getting better. Don't ask me, ask people around me. But here's the thing. We proclaim that this church, this house, is a house of tongues of life, hearts of life. And today, if that's not you, that's okay. But why would you ignore the problem for another day, hoping that just by proxy, it's going to go away? The Lord is in this room right now saying, all right, baby, I'm here. Let's deal with this heart issue. Some of you, you desperately need to be in counseling. You need a therapist. You need to sit down with the house church pastor. You need to sit down with somebody. There are deeper things in your heart. You're not just going to say, zippity-zoo, it's gone. I'm an encourager, right? Right? But God's in the midst of that, right? Like dealing with if you never deal with the brokenness and the stuff you got here, it ain't never coming out of your mouth until you do. But God's in that place. God is in the pit of brokenness in your belly. He's in that place longing for you to open the access and say, Jesus, renew a right heart and give me a new heart and give me a new spirit. The bigger question is, hey, are you honest with yourself if you ask yourself the question, man, do I breathe life or do I spit fire? And if the answer is negative, what are you going to do about it? Do you realize that the God of heaven is here in this room right now? There were two more gathered. There I am with you. He's here. The Holy Spirit is here. If there's any conviction here, two things are going on. The Lord's saying, come on, let's do it. Let's deal with this today. And the enemy's saying, don't. Don't you dare get up. Don't you dare confess that you have a problem. You're fine. You are a product of your environment. Every time you hear the devil say you're a product of your environment, will you please turn around and kick him in the chops and say, you know what? In the flesh, I'm a product of my environment. But through the blood, I'm a product of the kingdom of God. And I can change. Listen, you can change. I don't have to promise you. It's in God's word. So today as I pray, and I just desperately would love for you to sit with the Lord and just do the work. By the way, let me say this. I am so sorry. Look at me. I am so sorry for the people who injected virus and nastiness in your life. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry your dad didn't know how to say those words. I'm sorry he wasn't there. I'm sorry your mom was so critical. I'm sorry you didn't have anybody in the gap. I'm sorry your spouse was so messed up that she just obliterated you with her words, or your husband or your friends. I'm sorry if you're around negative people. I'm so sorry. But listen, they are your captors until you come to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, they are dictating my life and my spirit, and that breaks your heart, and I don't want that. God, do something new in me.